as that goes. And then today we're continuing our series. We're finishing our series, Gospel Change. And before we have Tim Cartwright's going to be our speaker this morning to finish up our series. Before he does that, though, Kendall Cartwright's going to come on stage and share with you guys about what happened with her the last few months as she went to and served in a country within the country of South Africa. All right, so here's Kendall. Let's welcome her to the stage.
Hi, guys. I'm Kendall. And today, I have the opportunity to share with y'all about what I've been up to the past 4 months. So this past December, I graduated high school a semester early and had the opportunity to go to the countries of Eswatini and South Africa with an organization called the World Race, which was really awesome. While we were there, we did a lot of street evangelism and kids ministry. And so today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about that. If you can go to the next slide. This is me and my team. And so our group was split in two. So this is the team that I was able to do a lot of my ministry with. And so while I was there, I experienced a lot of really cool things. I was able to witness a little boy get healed from HIV, which was incredible. I also got to see a lot of gang leaders and members come to salvation, which was also so awesome. But today, I mainly just wanted to focus on the things that God taught me, and I'd love to tell the stories another time. So, if you can go to the next slide. I'm going to start with the first thing I learned, which was surrender. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All right, so I had to learn a lot about surrender on this trip. The first thing I had to surrender was my comfortability and my preferences. On the next slide, there's a picture of the first house we stayed on. This was after a hike, so that's like kind of a dramatic picture. We didn't really sleep there. But that was like our living room and our dining room, and like 18 people like ate dinner and like every meal in there. So, and then you can see all our water we got on the side. So that's just an example of kind of the comfortability that I had to sacrifice. It was really fun, but just not what I was used to. Also a really hard thing that I had to learn was that many of the kids we were ministering to had it a lot worse than this, which was just really hard to endure. Also, preferences, living with 17 other people will definitely teach you a lot, many different opinions, and we are together 24/7, so I had to surrender a lot of my preferences. On the next picture, there's a picture of me and this little boy. At our care point, we were there for about 8 weeks in our first country, and it was like 7 to 8 hours in the sun. And so this was one of our last days doing ministry, and like we all went and just laid in the field and like fell asleep, and this little boy like fell asleep on me, which was really sweet. But yeah, I definitely had to surrender my own pride and my own strength. I learned very quickly that I could not rely on my own strength to do this. I had to fully rely on God, because it was definitely challenging, both emotionally and physically. The next thing I had to surrender was carrying others' burdens. In this picture, these were some of the kids we got to work with, and they were super sweet. And the ones in this picture are actually really young. They're like 7 or 8, and their smiles are really sweet, but what's hidden behind their smiles is a lot of abuse and neglect, a lack of resources, a very low life expectancy in the country that we are in with them. The life expectancy is around 30 to 32 because of how bad HIV is. And so my team and I very like quickly realized that there was a lot of weight in this community, and that we weren't able to carry it alone for these kids, and we weren't going to be able to fix each one of their situations, which was really hard. But through this, I learned to fully trust and rely on the Lord, that he has a plan for them and that they are safe with him. The next thing I learned is the value in spiritual disciplines. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. I think there's a slide. says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Okay, so before going on this trip, with spiritual disciplines, like I read my Bible when I felt like it, or I felt like I needed to, or I got plugged in community into community when I was like, oh yeah, I'll do that, like when I felt like I could benefit from it, or I shared the gospel whenever the opportunity like dropped right in my lap. Like I never really sought out opportunities like that. And I also didn't really have a prayer life. And maybe that is you, and that is completely okay, because I still struggle with a lot of the same things. But through this trip, I was really able to learn, and because of this passage, like what being fully devoted to the Lord looks like, and what following him and being immersed in his word and spending time with him looks like, which is really awesome. So that's another thing I learned. The last and biggest lesson I learned was the urgency, intimacy, and simplicity of the gospel. In this picture, it's a picture of when we were doing street evangelism. And so a lot of times on this trip, I was able to step out in boldness and share my faith, which was really awesome. I forgot where I was going. Oh, yeah. Did I witness effectiveness in the gospel in Africa? Yes. But one of the coolest times I really witnessed the Holy Spirit working through me was actually 5 minutes away from this building at Canyon Creek Townhomes. A couple weeks ago, I was able to go back. It was like my first Monday back. If y'all don't know, Canyon Creek is an apartment complex we go to for Impact, but we also do year-round clubs there on Monday nights. So when I first got back to the U.S., I went to Canyon Creek with the Monday night group, and I was able to talk to this little girl. She was about 7, and her name's Monet, and we just were having like normal like 7-year-old conversation. I think she might have been a little older now that I think about it, like 8 or 9. But and so we were just talking, and then she randomly brought up to me that she doesn't want to go to hell, and I was like, oh wow, like was not expecting that at all. But it was really cool because she was very interested, and I got to talk to her all about the gospel, and she ended up putting her faith in Jesus, which was really special. It was really cool, and definitely was not expecting that for my first Monday, because I'd been going there for years and like hadn't really seen a ton of fruit, but knew that the kids were being loved, which is also important. And so this is just an example that God wants to use the ordinary moments, not just the crazy overseas adventures to Africa. And so in the next 2 weeks, a majority of y'all will have the opportunity to go and share the gospel, which is really special. And maybe this Impact was just another thing to add to your summer calendar, or your mom made you do it, your friend made you do it. But I think it would be really cool if we all just took this time to pursue the gospel and sought to make a difference in our community and bring the kingdom to Temple and Belton and wherever else we are. I'm going to read this journal entry from when I was in South Africa, and then I'm going to pray for us, and then my dad's going to come up. Okay. So we as Christians are instructed by God to spread the gospel. It is not a request. It will be a scary day to meet with him and tell him you have never mentioned his name to anyone. You're holding freedom, love that through Christ will eternally change someone's life. This is not to condemn you if you've never shared the good news. The best part is you can start today. Tell your neighbor, tell the barista, tell your teammate, tell the homeless man. It is important that we seek to further the kingdom with urgency. America is our mission field too. If you've been born again, go tell someone about it. All right, so now I'm going to pray, and my dad's going to come up. All right. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this season that we are all in, about to go through Impact Camp and Impact Clubs. God, I just pray that you would give us opportunities to further your kingdom and be your hands and feet. And I thank you for this group of people and the opportunity to share with them today. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you.
Great job. Makes me so proud. So weird that she was just, seemed like yesterday, just running around this building as a little kid, getting on everybody's nerves. No, she would never do that. But, man, I'm so proud and happy of what God has been doing in her life and what God will do in your life. Those of you that are doing Impact, what a great challenge to think about. And now she has shared a good chunk of what I was going to share, so we can just pray and leave, right? No, I'm just kidding. I have a few notes to go over, but I'll be quick. So the last lesson in this series is called The Pursuit of Holiness. The Pursuit of Holiness. Last week, Dave shared how being transformed in the image of Christ changes how we live. He talked about the results of being transformed into the image of Christ, like affecting your integrity, infecting your trust and your sexual purity and relationships. And today we're going to look at the fact that when we trust Christ, we are transformed, but the job isn't done. Just because you've been justified, meaning when you trusted Jesus, you were justified by the sacrificial death of Jesus. But just because that happened one time doesn't mean the journey ends. That's just the beginning of the journey, and that is sanctification. We're called to continue to pursue holiness with a passion that brings this about. So maybe we can think of it this way with an illustration. How many of you have run track before? Anybody? A few of you? A few of you ran track. And so imagine you're running the 400. I ran the 400 in high school and absolutely hated it. It was so horrible just to sprint an entire lap. And one time it was so bad, I just fell over the finish line into a mud puddle. It wasn't like these fancy rubber tracks you guys have. And it was just bad. But imagine starting a race, even you haven't run track before, but just imagine with me you start a race and it's the 400 and you got to go all the way around the track once and sprint. And you get there and you're kind of in the lead and you look around and you're looking good, and then all of a sudden you turn around and you start running back to where you started. Yeah, that's ridiculous. I see some of your faces, you're like, what? That just messed with my brain. And it's kind of interesting to think of it that way, like you started a race and you were actually looked like you were kind of winning, and then you just decided to turn around. And it's kind of like the pursuit of holiness when we trust Christ that's at the start of our race, and we pursue him, and maybe we do Impact, and maybe we do Canyon Creek, and maybe some other things, BCYC, other opportunities, local outreach things, and we're kind of growing in community. But then for some reason or another, we just turn around and we run the opposite direction. God hasn't called us to go back and forth in our faith. He's called us, as Paul says, to pursue the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, this prize. And so for a lot of us, and I can even testify in my faith when I was young, and when I was in high school and your age, I felt that I was doing that. I was running the race well. And then for some reason, I'm turning back around and running back from where I came from to the things of the world, like they had something valuable to offer me. So the pursuit of holiness is keeping your eyes on the prize. And the first step in pursuing holiness is remembering that your identity has changed. Remembering that your identity has changed. And last Sunday, I had the opportunity to speak in the main church, and some of you were there, so you heard some of these things, but your identity has changed in three ways, and it's found in 2 Corinthians 6, 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 to 18. I think we have it on the screen. Yep. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you and I will be a father to you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord. So we recognize that our identity has changed. First of all, you're God's temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in you? If this was the temple back in the day, imagine this as the temple filled with gold and all kind of fanciness with incense burning and all these different things that the temple had in it. You would never imagine grabbing an idol, like a false idol, and bringing that into the temple. They would be killed. That would be the punishment for bringing a false idol into the temple. And if it was a priest, like the high priest, and he brought a false idol into the temple, obviously he would be judged. And so for us, as the temple, we are called the temple of God. So we're called to forsake idols and to place God as the only one on the throne of our lives. Secondly, we are God's people. Kendall stole two of my passages of scripture today. She didn't see my notes. But here's the first one. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Here you are. You're called by God. The creator of all the universe, the creator of everything, has called you, if you're a believer, has called you by name into this royal priesthood, into this family, to do what? Not just to sit here every Sunday and listen to Dave talk about things, right? Not to listen to all the different leaders in your small group and do discussion, not just to do impact, but here's what he's called you to. To declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. This is your purpose. You've been called for a purpose. And third, we are God's children. Think about this, and I shared this a little bit last week, the idea of adoption and how God has called us sons and daughters. Think about that. No matter what kind of relationship you have with your earthly mom or dad, whether it's good or bad, God has called you son or daughter. And it's a special thing. And sometimes I think we get so busy doing stuff and kind of scrolling our phones or whatever it is that we do, and we just forget to meditate on the fact that we are chosen by God and we are God's children. That is a blessing. And we're called for a purpose. So secondly, with the new identity, we're called to pursue holiness both inwardly and outwardly. First, inwardly, Christianity is not passive. We have an active part to play. We're not just going to sit there and all of a sudden God's just going to have his spirit just overwhelm us to lead us to things when we are just not really into it, when we're not taking part and taking action. First of all, we're called to cleanse ourselves. We have an active part to play, 2 Corinthians 7:1. We have these promises, beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. So how do we cleanse ourselves? I don't know about you, but I have certain kids at our house that cleanse themselves longer than others. And there may be some of you in the room here that your parents have to bang on the door and remind you about the water bill. Nobody? Yeah, I see some of you laughing. I think we were calling somebody out last week at the Morrison house for this too, but I won't say who. But it's an interesting thing that we take time to cleanse our bodies, and for some reason it takes a lot longer than others. But here we're called to cleanse ourselves spiritually. How is that done? There's a lot of ways we can do that, whether it's reading God's word, spending time in his word. Worship music is a great way to cleanse our minds, like a filter, taking out the old, bringing in the new. Being together in community is a great way to cleanse ourselves. Taking action like you're going to do with Impact or in your local area where you serve. A lot of ways to cleanse. But secondly, we're not only called to cleanse, but we're called to put off and put on. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. But be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. One of the best ways to do this, the idea of putting on and putting off, is to think about it like getting dressed. Getting up in the morning, you don't most likely wear what you wore to bed, right? And some of you are like, yeah, I do. What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. I don't care if you do or not. But most of us actually change. Most of us do something different. And that's kind of the idea where we're clothing ourselves. We're putting on something. And it's not a fake smile. It's not putting on like a hypocrite where you just say the good things and you put on some act. But it's like the consideration of dressing yourselves for action, dressing yourselves, even the Bible describes, for battle. You're getting ready to face the day. And so you have this kind of morning assessment, and maybe in the evening you can have an evening assessment where what do? Most of you might change before you go to bed and wear something different. And so that's the idea of morning and evening, be able to assess where you're at spiritually, putting on righteousness and holiness and putting off the things that drag you down, the things that pull you down, the sin that weighs you down. And so also inwardly, Kendall read it already, offer yourself as a sacrifice. One of my most favorite passages in all the Bible. Considering your body as an act of worship. Your body, what you do with it, your mind, your thoughts are all combined to create this act of worship. This is inward holiness, this presenting yourself as an act of worship. Jerry Bridges, the author of this book we've been studying, also wrote another book called Pursuit of Holiness. And he says, holiness begins in our minds and works out to our actions. This being true, what we allow to enter our minds is critically important. The television programs we watch, the movies we may attend, the books and magazines we read, the music we listen to, and the conversations we have all affect our minds. Now, I'm not one to stand up here and say you must only listen to worship music, because I'd be in trouble, because I love lots of different kinds of music. Sometimes people catch me out in the detached garage blaring it too loud, and I got to turn it down. Some 50-year-old getting arrested for noise complaints, right? But that's the idea, is like we have things that go in our minds, but for us, we have to really consider, what is it that I put in my mind most often? Does it honor God? Does it point me toward holiness? See, some of you know much, so some of you love basketball like me. Like I look around the room like, yeah, here's some ballers out there, and then some of you think you are, and you're probably not if I got you out there. Phillip's looking at somebody back there. But some of you may know that I love basketball. Like that's what I do. If I'm going to exercise, I'm going to play, that's my favorite thing. It started at 4 years old. I wanted to play all the time. I wanted to be really good. However, this pursuit of excellence didn't start with me just playing. It started with a determination and commitment I made in my mind that I'm going to be better than anyone else, like in my community first. And I just thought about that. What is it going to take to get there? What is it going to take to be really good at this particular sport? In my mind, it had to happen. It couldn't just be like, I'm just going to go out there and play. I had to have this determination. For some of you, it could be acting, it could be music, it could be whatever it is that you are thinking of that you love to do. You didn't just accidentally stumble on it and get really good at it. So it takes practice, and that's what we're talking about here, this pursuit of holiness. It takes practice, it takes action, it takes effort, it takes planning. Just like if you wanted to be good at the thing that you love the most to do, it takes effort. And so secondly, here with the pursuit of holiness, it happens outwardly. Imagine this scenario with me. It's really weird and creepy, but it's just what popped in my head when I was reading this. You discover that you have an elusive, kind of weird experience stalker in your life. Like, why would you want me to imagine that? That's just depressing. Well, it's just what I thought of, and I'm sorry if that sends you somewhere you shouldn't be. But this isn't just some harmless person interested in you, but an intense individual bound to a desire to literally destroy you. Like, that's the stalker I'm talking about. Some of you need a paper bag to breathe into right now. This is just imagination, okay? Just imagine with me. Now, I want you to feel uncomfortable for a reason. See, the only catch is that you can't tell the authorities or your parents about this stalker. It's just you. You got to figure out a way to get over this. You got to figure out a way to get out of this. And what would your response be? That's kind of an interesting scenario. Some of you are like, I play this scenario every day because I'm so worried about stalkers or whatever, and I'm sorry you live in that world. What would your strategies be? How would you develop this? Some of you are like, why are you talking this morbid talk about stalkers and make me fear like I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight? Well, the reason why I brought that up, the reason why I want you guys to consider that, is that literally in Scripture, there is an evil stalker, powerful, more powerful than any being that's ever existed outside of God. And he literally, his stated effort is to destroy you. The Bible says he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And yet we just sit around just kind of doing our thing, acting like this doesn't exist, like spiritual warfare doesn't happen. And when you just like pretend the monster is not there, like even if you imagine those movies like Monsters University, all those different movies, you know, and scare the kid half to death. But pretending that monster wasn't there wasn't the best strategy. It just got worse. Getting consumed with the things of the world isn't a good strategy. Distracting yourself is not a good strategy. The best strategy is attacking it head on, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, through a pursuit of holiness, being in the Word, being in community, being in relationship with one another, pursuing Jesus. 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Here's a great call to community. You are called to community, to experience this brotherhood, this sisterhood. Some of you are like, why do we do small groups? This is boring, or whatever it is you'd like to say when you go to small groups. And the reality is, this is designed by God. He designed you to fight the enemy together, side by side. You try to do it on your own, it's a losing battle. You can't do it on your own. God's designed us for community. So what are you pumping into your life? Shows, movies, music. I know Dave talked about this last week too. I don't need to go into details, but if you're honest with yourself, you're probably pumping too much of the world into your life and not enough holiness. Can we agree on that? So how can you go about pursuing holiness? There's another quote from Pursuit of Holiness. We need to brace ourselves up to realize that we are responsible for thoughts, attitudes, and actions. We need to reckon on the fact that we died to sin's reign, that it no longer has dominion over us, that God has united us with the risen Christ in all his power and has given us the Holy Spirit to work in us. Only as we accept our responsibility and appropriate God's provisions will we make any progress in our pursuit of holiness. So we recognize and we pursue that we've been created for holiness. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, as we pursue holiness, as we pursue community, godly Christian community, we actually are drawn to holiness. God has created us for this. God has created us for this journey together. And I remember back in college, some of my strongest friends were believers, and we got together, and we spent time in the Word, and we spent time in prayer together and in accountability together. And those were the strongest times of my life that I remember at that age growing in my faith. And it was because of community. So you're going to spend a few minutes in discussion about this, but I'm going to close in prayer and send you out to your groups. God, thankful for the challenge from your word from Kendall earlier, just thinking about what this looks like to live this out, live out the gospel and be devoted to you and to speak your name boldly. Lord, help us all to remember what you've called us to, which is a passion, a pursuit of holiness. Lord, forgive us for these distractions that we get involved in, these things that numb our minds and numb our faith. And God, I pray that we will just see you absolutely destroy those things. And see us be drawn to you by the power of your Spirit, and see what an exciting life can be, living in pursuit of you, and pursuit of things that actually matter and rejecting the things that don't matter. Pray you bless our time as we do discussion. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can head on out to your discussion.